Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From Boston to Springfield and Worcester, down to Providence and Cape Cod, up through New Hampshire and Maine, New England's home for Boston sports. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station.
Clips him right on the jaw.
Yeah, right over the guard, man. Beautiful kick there from Conor McGregor.
Just phenomenal performance.
Everybody worried about that left hand, and he comes out and does that.
And just beats him down here. The king is back.
No doubt about it.
And to his credit, Herb Dean gave Cerrone every chance he could.
He absolutely did.
I like that.
I've spent a lot of time, Joe, slating everybody in the company. Backstage, I'm starting fights off everybody. I've ridiculed everyone on the roster. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
Oh, well, there he is. The beautiful Conor McGregor. Man, is he entertaining. 40 seconds of that fight last night and it was over. And oh, by the way, did you see who was in attendance? Tom Brady there in Las Vegas watching the fight. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. The number is 617-779-7937. So Conor McGregor now has three of the top five grossing pay-per-views in the history of UFC. Every time that guy's in the octagon, everybody wants to watch it. Last night was bizarre. He shouldered the guy like three times, then finally knocked him out. But the bigger point for us here is the fact that Tom Brady was there. And it's weird, right? Because we're getting ready for a championship Sunday here in the NFL. And Wiggy, Andy Hart, and Mark James will be here from 10 to 2 before those games get underway this afternoon. But it is really bizarre that we're getting ready for a championship Sunday in the NFL and the Patriots aren't participating. It seemed like that was a rite of passage. Every year, no matter what happened, the Patriots are going to be in a situation where they were in the AFC Championship. No matter how poorly it looked at times during the season, I get at times it didn't look that poorly most of this decade for the Patriots. Most years, they're 12-4, they're 13-3, or they're 14-2, whatever that particular season ends up being in terms of the record. But usually, the worst is like last year, 11-5 during the regular season, and of course, they still go to the AFC Championship game. But it is going to be odd today, at least for me. Maybe you're different than me, but for me today, it's going to be different when I'm getting ready to watch these two games and the Patriots are not going to be playing. Now, maybe that's something we're going to be grateful for, that this is never going to happen again in the history of the NFL. The league is not set up this way, where a team can be this dominant for two decades, and in particular, even more dominant this decade than they were in the last decade, considering how much of a stranglehold they had on the AFC. But it is going to be bizarre today to watch this and not have the Patriots out there. And that's why Tom Brady can go to the fight last night. And oh, by the way, you see who he was talking to? Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, in the same building, by the way, last night as well, when they were showing everything that was going on. They were showing the celebrities there and they were showing NFL players. And they showed Myles Garrett, former number one overall pick of the Cleveland Browns, and they forgot to mention Baker Mayfield. How quickly things have turned for that guy. Baker Mayfield was like the most popular player in the NFL after last season, got all these commercials. The guy has more commercials right now than he has regular season wins in the NFL. That's what he's got right now. He's got more commercials. They forgot he was there. It was just like he was Myles Garrett's friend. It was pretty entertaining, but nonetheless.
He's the more recent number one pick, too.
Yeah, exactly. And he's the quarterback. And Myles Garrett was just suspended for, what, the final six games of the season. And technically, he is still suspended. And yet, they know who Myles Garrett is, but they don't know who Baker Mayfield is. So I found that entertaining. And, of course, they didn't forget Tom Brady. Brady had his own entrance, okay? Brady gets in the back. They're showing Tom Brady coming in. Yeah, Dana White, we'll get to this later, commenting after the game on Tom Brady's situation. This is how big of a story this now is with Tom Brady. Conor McGregor returns to the octagon last night. Hasn't fought in, what, like a year and a half or whatever it was. Finally is back. Huge night for the UFC. And Dana White, after, is talking about Tom Brady and where he could possibly be playing next season. That's how big this Tom Brady story is. That's how big this That's how big this Tom Brady free agency story is at this point in time. Here was Dana White, by the way, after the fight.
Oh, now you want to talk about Tom Brady, right? What was he what?
His opinion of the fight.
Oh, how would you not like the fight? I thought when she asked me the question earlier, I thought you guys were going to ask me, hey, Tom Brady was here. Davis was here. I saw them talking. What's going on? Are you guys Las Vegans or what? Come on, man. If that dude isn't playing for Boston, he's playing here. All right? So, I don't know. No idea what I'm talking about, but...
All right, so that's Dana White after the fight last night talking about Tom Brady. And I get at the end, he says, I don't know what I'm talking about. But he says, hey, if Tom Brady's not going to be a member of the Patriots next season, paraphrasing what he just said, hey, he's going to be here. He's going to be playing for the Las Vegas Raiders. What do you make of those comments? Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. The number is 617-779-7937. It's interesting to me when you think about the Raiders as a possibility for Brady, because, of course, they are opening up that new stadium in Las Vegas. And, of course, there's going to be a lot of attention around that team, and it's going to be a situation where John Gruden right now has not sounded like he's too happy with Derek Carr as the quarterback, because if you remember after the season, John Gruden, they finished 7-9, right? So they finished the season 7-9, and week 17, he's asked after the game, will Derek Carr definitely be the starter next season? He had a high completion percentage, but he's a dink and dunk guy, and he's had an awful record in terms of his NFL career, 39-55. I'm not telling you that's the end-all, be-all, but nonetheless, Derek Carr is not the guy that puts you over the top as an organization. So after Week 17, they asked John Gruden about, well, is Derek Carr definitely the starter? He says, he's played good. I'm not going to get into all the next year scenarios. I'm just going to say that 7-9 is a step forward. We've got a lot of guys to get healthy, and we've got a lot of things to look at and evaluate before we start making any assumptions. So that's what John Gruden said about his quarterback after the season. So you would think that if you're John Gruden, if you're the Raiders, if you have the opportunity to upgrade at the quarterback position, you would go ahead and do so, because your quarterback's, he's okay. He's fine. He's not that good, though. He's not going to bring us to Super Bowl aspirations or anything along those lines. And if you're the Raiders and you're moving to a totally different city, and look, we saw the way that the Golden Knights, the NHL team, has been embraced there. So it seems like you'd get a lot of attention in terms of bringing an NFL team to Las Vegas, and I'm sure you will. But can you imagine if you're Mark Davis and John Gruden and you can go into Las Vegas in your first year and bring Tom Brady with you? So I just bring this up because last night Tom Brady's in Las Vegas, and I get it's a huge UFC fight, and ordinarily he couldn't go to this because he's usually getting ready for the AFC Championship game, but he has this year off, not playing in the AFC title game. And if you're looking at this from the outside looking in and starting to think about, okay, right after the Super Bowl ends, you realize that not just locally here, but nationally, this is the number one storyline in the entire NFL. This is significantly bigger than when Peyton Manning was a free agent. Because when Peyton Manning was a free agent, he was coming off a significant injury. And Peyton Manning, like, you totally understood it from the Colts' perspective because they had Andrew Luck waiting there. And Andrew Luck was going to be the number one pick in the draft. He was supposed to be the best quarterback prospect since John Elway. That's why it was labeled that way. So that one kind of made sense. We've never had a quarterback of Brady's stature become a free agent, especially in the social media era, if you will. This is like very NBA-like. Ordinarily in the NFL, the biggest names that hit free agency in terms of the quarterback positions in recent history, outside of Peyton Manning, and basically it was like three teams were interested in Peyton Manning. Some teams didn't even know if he was going to be able to play because of the neck injury. But the biggest guys you think of are like Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, okay? Remember how big of a story that was when he signed that $84 million deal with the Minnesota Vikings? Now think about what's going to happen when Tom Brady actually becomes a free agent. And you have the president of the UFC last night talking about Tom Brady, and he brought it up himself. They asked him, did Tom Brady enjoy the fight? And he went on himself and said, oh, I thought you were going to ask me about where he's going to be playing football next season. But I don't believe that the Raiders would be the craziest thing in the world. First of all, we know what Brady wants. He wants long-term stability, right? That's what he wants. He wants a contract extension, okay? That's what he's wanted for a couple of years here. He has not gotten it. Now, he got a bump in pay last year, but he did not get the extension. And the Raiders, oh, by the way, you realize if they cut Derek Carr, according to Over the Cap, they're going to have about $73 million in salary cap space. So they could go out there and they could upgrade the roster as well. They got a really good tight end in Darren Waller, who came on this year, had an outstanding season. Josh Jacobs averaged 5 yards per carry. You got Hunter Renfro, rather, who is like a possession receiver. I'm not saying they have great weapons, but Darren Waller is better than anybody right now the Patriots can offer. Julian Edelman's coming back from an injury. at 33 banged up for the majority of the season. Now, Edelman is a great player and all that, but I'm talking about outside of Edelman, what did Brady have? Not much, right? So you bring in a guy like Darren Waller, and we saw what was missing partly from the Patriots offense this year was that tight end, that seam route that Brady loves to throw. Think about how many times he hit Rob Gronkowski on that play down the middle of the field. And this year that was basically essentially taken out of the offense because they didn't have a player that was capable of it. So I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world that Tom Brady, even though just seeing Tom Brady talk to Mark Davis last night, it kind of makes you sick as a Patriots fan. And you're starting to think to yourself, does Tom Brady really want to play for Mark Davis? The guy is just not really well respected in the league. It looks like he has no idea what he's doing half the time. He's got that bizarre, odd haircut, which is like, if you're this rich guy, I don't understand why you have a haircut that looks that bad. And I don't understand who's around this guy that doesn't tell him to upgrade his hairstyle. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But it just seems odd that Tom Brady would play for Mark Davis. But at the same time, if Brady's not ultimately going to get what he wants here, which is that extension, he said multiple times he wants to play till he's 45. We heard Alex Guerrero come on here a couple of weeks ago and say, hey, maybe he could play till he's 46 or even 47 years old. So if Brady, and remember this, Brady fought for this power that he could get, which is, okay, I'm going to take the bump in pay. You guys aren't giving me extension, but I want this in my contract now. You can't franchise me after the season. And essentially, I can become a free agent after the year, which he is. I'm in a walk year. So for the first time ever for Tom Brady, he's in a walk year. Okay, so think about it from Brady in terms of his perspective and really his ego, if you will. So Brady fought for this so that he could basically try to hold leverage over the organization where he can say, hey, listen, this team's giving me a 3-year deal. This team's giving me a 2-year deal. This team's offering me a 3-year deal. So he could use that and go back to the negotiating table with Bill Belichick and say, look at what these other teams are offering me. They're offering me a big long-term extension, and if you're not going to match that offer, well, I'm going to be going elsewhere, right? So what Brady thought is, okay, I'm going to come back. I'm going to have a good season, and basically I'm going to force the Patriots to give me this long-term extension. But what happened to Tom Brady this year? Pretty much the opposite in terms of the leverage aspect that you think that he would have in this particular scenario, because Brady did not have a good year. You look at the numbers this year, 7th in passing yards per game, 13th in touchdowns with 24, 19th in quarterback rating. He also had 8 interceptions on the season, which wasn't, I mean, not awful, but it's not like he had a great year. You go through the statistics, he did not have a great season. You also look at the fact, okay, I understand, and I look at the fact that the offense sucked. He had no weapons and all that. He didn't have a running game for a good portion of the season. Isaiah Wynn missed a good amount of time. I'm not putting this all on Tom Brady. I'm just looking at it from Bill Belichick's perspective when he's asking Tom, when he's negotiating with Tom Brady. Think about this. After the MVP season that Tom Brady has in 2017, and remember, he throws for 500 yards in that game against the Eagles in the Super Bowl. What happens after that season? Okay, Brady doesn't get an extension. What does he get? Oh, yeah, he gets this contract offer or a contract that basically it's all incentive based where he can make up to an additional $5 million. If he hits any of these, he gets $1 million, right? Remember the incentives where he had to be top 5 in passing yards to get $1 million. He could get another $1 million if he was top 5 in passing touchdowns, top 5 in passer rating, top 5 in yards per attempt, and top 5 in completion percentage. Well, what happened in 2017? Brady didn't hit any of those incentives. Okay, so he didn't get the $5 million. And oh, by the way, he didn't get the extension that he wanted at that particular point in time. Okay, so Belichick, after that season, doesn't give him an extension. All right, so you flip forward to the following season. Brady and the Patriots win another Super Bowl in 2018. And you could say, oh, well, he wasn't great in the Super Bowl game. Yeah, okay, fine. He did make the critical throw to Rob Gronkowski. He did make the critical throw to Julian Edelman. And, of course, he was great in the Kansas City game. 3 third-and-10s that he converts in overtime to win that game and beat Pat Mahomes in Arrowhead Stadium. Outstanding vintage performance by Brady in that particular drive at the end of the game. And after that season, Brady wants an extension, and he doesn't get it. So now you're looking at Tom Brady, where he'd be entering his 43-year-old season, and he's going to want an extension, and he wants to play till he's 45, and he's going to ask Bill Belichick for an extension after this season, after the numbers continue to go down. Is Belichick going to give it to him at that point in time? That's what just doesn't make sense from the Belichick aspect of all this. Why would Belichick, after not giving an extension for 2 consecutive years, say, well, after the MVP year, I wasn't going to give it to him. After another Super Bowl, I wasn't going to give it to him. You know what? This is the year where I give Tom Brady an extension. The only way it happens is if Robert Kraft steps in and says, hey, Bill, you have to give it to him. But does Robert Kraft really want to get to that situation again and basically get in the way of Bill Belichick making football decisions. Because remember, last time that happened and all the reporting that came out from Seth Wickersham of ESPN, Belichick was upset with the whole Jimmy Garoppolo situation. And it does make sense if you really think about it. It seemed kind of petty what Bill Belichick did, only getting a second round pick in return for Jimmy Garoppolo, which ironically is the same thing he gave it for Mohamed Sanu this year, who contributed nothing to the Patriots whatsoever. But nonetheless, that's a small digression. But you would think that Bill Belichick realizes that Robert Kraft is more important to this organization for the next 10 years or so than is Tom Brady. So he's not going to overrule what Bill Belichick is ultimately deciding to do. So if Tom Brady sees that, he didn't get an extension for the past 2 years, he probably realizes Belichick's not going to give him one after this year, at least not one that satisfies him. So the only way that Tom Brady would remain in New England, you would think, is on another situation where he continues to go year by year with the Patriots. And you have to imagine, from Brady's perspective, that at some point he's going to be sick and tired of singing for his supper, so to speak. Okay, I won the MVP, I can't get an extension. I won a Super Bowl, I can't get an extension. And now I fought for this power to get all this leverage. And think about it. It does not look great for Brady in terms of his ego aspect and all this. If he fought for this whole thing, right, the reason that he fought to basically be a free agent and not get franchised is so he had some sort of leverage, and that so what he was threatening, which is the possibility of leaving, and I get he probably didn't say in the meeting, I'm leaving or anything along those lines, but just pointing out the facts that when Brady goes in there and he doesn't get the extension, then he asks for basically the ability not to have that franchise tag put on him. What he's getting in all that is the leverage to go somewhere else for that 3-year contract or that 2-year contract, whatever he wants. So if he gets that offer from another organization, whether it be the Raiders, as Dana White pointed out last night, I know a lot of people have linked him to the Chargers, and basically we get a new team like every week some person in the media is pointing some team out that Brady ultimately could go to after the season, right? So you have all these different scenarios where maybe this team would be interested in Tom Brady, etc. And if Brady gets that offer and Belichick says, I'm not going to match it and I'm not giving you the 3 years, think about what Brady looks like if he goes back to the Patriots on a 1-year deal. From a leverage standpoint, what the hell was he fighting for that whole time? That's the thing that just doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. If he does remain with the Patriots and he comes back on a 1-year contract, it's just bizarre, right? Because he fought for this whole thing to basically gain leverage over the organization. And maybe when you look at it, he was maybe betting on himself a little bit too much, that he thought, oh, I'm going to get these great numbers and I'm going to have the leverage when I talk to Bill Belichick again. But clearly, he's had one of his worst seasons, really his worst season statistically since 2006. It was a bad year for Brady from that perspective, and I'm not putting it all on Brady. But he thought he was going to basically be able to, and if you're Tom Brady, you would think this too, be like, okay, well, now you can't franchise me. I had a great season. I can go somewhere else. And Belichick's like, well, I don't know if I want to give you a 2-3 year extension, especially considering the numbers you put up this year and where the team's at this particular point in time. So if Brady goes out there and Brady finds that team on the open market, I don't think you could really blame Tom Brady for leaving for a 3-year extension. It's just, it seems like that's what he's wanted the whole time. And the other thing I would point out is Gary Tanguay, and by the way, the number is 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board here. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. If you look at what Gary Tanguay pointed out this week, so he pointed out on NBC Sports Boston that Brady was embarrassed about how many quarterbacks are making more money than him. So Derek Carr and Matthew Stafford, those guys make more money than Tom Brady this year. And oh, by the way, when you look at those two guys, neither one of them have a playoff win. But here's the thing that doesn't make sense to me about that report. I'm not saying the report isn't true. I'm just saying it seems like it goes against everything about Tom Brady, right? Jimmy Kimmel, he was on Jimmy Kimmel's show after the Super Bowl last year, and Kimmel asked him about this, and he said, I think the thing I've always felt for me in life is winning has been a priority. You can only spend so much, and the more that one guy gets is less for the others. A competitive advantage standpoint, I like to get good players around me. So this is why it wouldn't make sense to me if the reason Brady's leaving is for more money. If it's for security, that's what I've been pointing out the whole time. It's for that extension that he knows he's going to be in a place for a certain amount of time, right? I don't think it has anything to do with the annual average value and that Matthew Stafford and Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo and that all these quarterbacks are making more money than Tom Brady. It's more so about the security than anything else. So if Brady goes somewhere where he gets a three-year contract, that makes sense. But if he's just going to another organization assigned a one-year deal that's more than the Patriots offer, that just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever, because that's never been what Brady's been about. And that would be a complete change in terms of the character of Brady. He's built this up over the years. Oh, he always sacrifices. He takes less money than anybody else so the team can be better and all that. And if this is why he's upset, it doesn't register. It doesn't make sense from the Brady aspect of all this, when this has been something that he's been basically praised for all these years. Now, all of a sudden, he's embarrassed that all these guys are making more money than him. He's never been embarrassed about that in the past. He's referenced the fact that he takes less money so the team can be better. It doesn't register with me whatsoever that Brady would actually be irritated by that particular scenario. I just don't get that whatsoever. And quite frankly, if that's what Brady's upset about, that he wants more money and that he's embarrassed about that, I feel like that would be bad from Brady from a PR perspective. That's really what it's about. That's a bad look for Brady, because he's built up this persona the whole time. He's been like the Tim Duncan of the NFL. Tim Duncan, for all these years in San Antonio, year after year, he would take less money. Greg Popovich famously went to him one year and said, hey, these are the two scenarios. We can give you this money, this amount of money, which is a max deal, but this is the guys we have to get rid of. If you take this amount of money, these are the guys we can bring in, and these are the guys we can keep. And he said, okay, I'll go with option two because I can win more championships. Brady's done that for years. He's been the Tim Duncan of the NFL when it comes to that particular perspective. So if it's about money, I would be just absolutely perplexed, and it would make no sense in terms of anything that has gone along with the Brady brand for all these years. I would just be completely baffled by that. So again, it's more about the long-term stability of Tom Brady and where he's going to be playing for the next 3 years. Because again, the TB12 brand, he's referenced it multiple times. He wants to play till he's 45 years old. All right, a lot more to get into. I will touch on this Red Sox situation as well. What a fall from grace from Alex Cora. A couple of months ago, this guy is, or about 8 months ago, this guy's on top of the world, and now look at him. He's one of the biggest jokes in Major League Baseball. And I do have a question about the Red Sox press conference. What exactly was that the other day? What exactly did they accomplish? If you want to weigh in on the Tom Brady situation, certainly welcome to do so. The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and a half or so. We'll get you trending in just a second here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com station.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and a half or so. The number 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on this Tom Brady situation, Dana White last night at UFC 246, Conor McGregor with a big win, but he was talking about Tom Brady after that and saying that if he doesn't return to the Patriots, he could see him going to Las Vegas and playing for the Raiders next season. We'll see where Tom Brady ends up. But the other thing I think you have to factor in with this Brady situation, a couple of things. First of all, he could be at this particular point in time just sick and tired of singing for his supper. 2 years in a row he had to do it, and now he's looking at a third year of doing this. He may just be sick of it and say, you know what, if some team's going to offer me 2 to 3 years, I might just take that because I'm going to feel appreciated. Which, if you think about it, if you're Brady, three-time MVP, six-time Super Bowl champ, and you've had to year after year, at least for the past 2 years, have to sort of sing for your supper and ask for a contract extension, he may just be sick and tired of doing that at this particular point in time. And then one of the other things that ordinarily wouldn't come up with this Patriots organization is, are you so sure that the Patriots are going to put the proper pieces around you if you're Brady going into next season? How are they going to get significantly better on the offensive side of the football? Maybe internal improvement from N'Keal Harry. And again, all these other rookies, the Deebo Samuels, who's going to be playing today, A.J. Brown, who's going to be playing today, D.K. Metcalf, all these other rookie receivers that were so much better than N'Keal Harry this year. And I understand that he had an injury and maybe he'll improve next year. You would hope he would. But nonetheless, maybe N'Keal Harry gets a lot better. But other than that, how is this team going to get significantly better from the receiver position? So for the first time, you're wondering, well, is Belichick going to give you the proper guys around me? And I get the past 2 years, it hasn't been great. But Mohamed Sanu, N'Keal Harry, remember these guys they signed in training camp? Maurice Harris, Dontrell Inman, Ben Watson, and I get he was playing with a torn Achilles, although I don't know how you play through a torn Achilles. Anyway, I had an Achilles injury. Matt Lacoste, like, Dontrell Inman didn't make the team. Maurice Harris didn't make the team. Matt Lacoste wasn't good, and Ben Watson was the tight end before Gronk, and he's old. So they didn't put the proper weapons around him this year. What tells you, if you're Brady, that you're going to get the proper weapons heading into next season? 617-779-7937. Let's get to Billy's in Holden. What's up, Bill? Hey, Bill. I think we lost Bill. If you want to grab his line, you can. The number is 617-779-7937. But if you really think about it, this has been really a two-year process with the Patriots in terms of, part of the reason they're not playing in the AFC Championship game is the lack of weapons that they have at this point in time, or the lack of weapons they had this season. And it's really been ongoing for the past two seasons. Remember, in 2018, it wasn't exactly like the Patriots had this great receiving core. Now, we all forget about that because they, of course, went on and they won the Super Bowl that year. But remember, you had Rob Gronkowski, an older Gronk, who turned it on when we got to the postseason, right? And you had Julian Edelman, who, of course, played at a significantly high level, won the Super Bowl MVP. You had Josh Gordon for basically half the year. Then you had to get rid of him, or not get rid of him. He was suspended by the NFL, so he was no longer part of the equation. And, oh, by the way, the Josh Gordon thing was a mistake the whole time. I don't understand what they got out of that. First of all, you had years where Brady was forcing the ball to Josh Gordon. It just never worked out. And this year they tried to play him in different positions, and clearly he could not catch up with the offense, and he looked like he was thinking too much out there. But that's been like your big move over the past couple of years. Antonio Brown, that's a situation that as an organization you could have seen something happening with this guy. Did you see the video he had all over Instagram this week where he's filming the police? Say the guy's an absolute mess. So it's not out of the question that something would have happened to Antonio Brown, and he had just threatened the general manager of the team he played with prior to coming to the Patriots. So that's not something that you could have or that's not something that we should have been perplexed by or shocked that the Patriots had to get rid of the player. It's something that is on Antonio Brown's resume. The guy's a complete head case, right? So if you just look at it from that perspective and you think about Brady, how does he know that next year it's going to be better in terms of the weapons? There's no guarantee of that whatsoever. And this running game that you had last year, how is that going to go back to where it was in 2018 compared to where it was this year? The offensive line's not as good. James Devlin, who knows what his future is going to be? He was dealing with a significant injury. Sonny Michel regressed from what he was in the playoffs in 2018. So what makes you think the offense is going to be any better? So if you look at it, it seems like when we look at this team from this year, Tom Brady and the offense get so much of the blame, and rightfully so. But Bill Belichick has a lot to be blamed for this season. Because remember, this is the guy making these decisions. You have three ways to upgrade in terms of the weapons, right? You have the draft. He chooses N'Keal Harry over DK Metcalf, over Deebo Samuel, over A.J. Brown. One way, failed in terms of the draft. Okay, the second way is free agency. Dontrell Inman, Maurice Harris, Ben Watson, who the hell are these guys? And we know that they went after Golden Tate. We know that they went after Cole Beasley, right? The Jared Cook situation, maybe you want to put some of that on Rob Gronkowski because Cook wanted to be promised to be the number one tight end, and Gronk retires just a couple of days before he makes his decision. But nonetheless, they're after all these guys. They land none of them, and they get the Demaryius Thomas of the world, who ends up getting traded to the Jets, the Maurice Harris's, the Dontrell Inmans. Those are the guys he gets. So in terms of free agency, failed this year. Who was playing tight end for this team? Nobody good enough. Okay, and then you think about the third way you could upgrade this team. Well, that's would be the trading deadline. And Mohamed Sanu was a mess. Look at what Emmanuel Sanders has meant to the San Francisco 49ers. And you had a guy here in Mohamed Sanu that, what, in three games he had single under 20 yards receiving? The guy was horrible. I don't know what that guy does well. And that's somebody you gave up his second round draft pick for. And oh, by the way, he's on the books for next season as well. So three ways that you could have upgraded this team, they failed in all three ways. So Bill Belichick deserves a lot of blame for what happened with this team this year in terms of the personnel around the quarterback. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you here on WEI. Let's get to Aaron and Wellesley. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, how are you today?
Good.
Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I just wanted to share a little insight and, you know, no blame or anything aside. I think that everybody needs to step up their instinctive game. You know, if you look at the psychology of it, you know, ever since Brady had that knee injury, he's been very hesitant to run the ball on a third down. And you look at someone like Roethlisberger, throughout his career, he's been able to do that and convert. And I think it's that kind of instinct that you kind of have to have in order to, you know, when you're playing against a team like Tennessee Titans, who are physically more imposing, you know, it's kind of like
What do you mean, though, Aaron? I feel like Brady had more big runs this year than he's had in previous seasons. You saw Bill Belichick going nuts on the sideline one game when Brady had a big run. I feel like when he needed to run, he did, but that's never been a part of his game. It's not. I don't question his pocket mobility or anything along those lines. I don't think that the Brady running aspect was an issue with this team whatsoever.
Well, I think that's how you evolve, though, as a player, as you're a veteran, as you're someone that's that mature. You kind of have to take that decisive action.
Yeah, but Aaron, let me ask you this. Okay, how would Brady evolve as a runner over these years? Now, he's better than he was at the beginning of his career when he came into the league, but what if all of a sudden you think he's going to be like this mobile quarterback? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, let's look at that specific play against Tennessee. They're on the one-yard line, right? They tried to run the ball four times. Not even once did they try to throw a pass. You figure there's one, you're on the one-yard line, and this is it for the playoffs. You could run the ball. I think you could give it a little bit of an effort, my mind.
But what does that have to do with Brady? You're saying that they should have, throw it, but then before you're saying run it. I don't get it.
Well, if you're looking at him as the leadership of someone, you know, to be taking it when they need to, you know, that's the decisive kind of instinctive thing you have to have. It's almost precognitive. You kind of have to just take it and run with it like that in a situation and surprise people because they're not expecting Brady to run. So what do you do when you got to switch up your strategy and your tactics. You got to have people evolve into a new game where they're not expecting Tom to run the ball. So they probably would get they'd probably get the touchdown, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Aaron. By the way, so if you go back to that Tennessee game, I feel like the issue was you ran it three straight times to the left. I understand if you want to throw the ball, go ahead and throw the ball. I would have been an advocate of that. I don't know what McDaniels was doing on that particular set of plays when you got a first and goal from the one-yard line. You couldn't punch it in. That was embarrassing. Okay, you know what else was embarrassing is the coach had no confidence in the offense whatsoever all year. And he's the one that puts together the team. And you think about it from this perspective. Remember what happened at the end of the Miami second quarter? They didn't try to score at the end of the second quarter. How many times has that happened with Tom Brady? They're saying, oh, we're good. We'll just go into halftime. That was completely embarrassing from a Patriots perspective. So, look, if you want to say, oh, Brady should have audible down on the goal line, yeah, you could say that. You could also say Josh McDaniels has got to have something better when you're getting ready at the one-yard line. You've got to get a touchdown there. Also considering the fact that on the previous scoring drive that they had, remember to begin the game, you had that creative play where Brady made it like Edelman didn't know what he was doing. You got a lineup and they gave it to Edelman like it was a sick play, right? Where was that creativity when you're at the goal line? Now, you shouldn't ordinarily need that from the 1 yard line. You should just be able to punch that in. But this is where the Patriots were this year. The best thing they did as an offense were their trick plays. That's basically your best offense were your trick plays this year. So when I just look at it, I can't blame Brady for not running the ball more this year. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, if you want to point to the fact that the play calling and maybe Brady could have audible down there when against Tennessee, okay, fine. But I'm not going to get on a position where I'm saying what really hurt the Patriots this year is Tom Brady wasn't running the ball. It just doesn't make any sense to me. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you. Let's get to Lisa in Lowell. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, how you doing? I just have one comment about Brady as far as extending him. Mm-hmm. If his numbers continue to fall off and you do want to replace him, he's a very difficult replacement. As witnessed by Garoppolo starting the third game of the preseason where he stormed out of the stadium because he wasn't starting, even though he was suspended for four games. So, you know, he could become almost like a cancer if he was, like, say, to be replaced like Eli Manning was this past year. I don't know if Brady would handle that as well as Manning did and be able to mentor a new quarterback taking his spot. So, and I think that was also evident this year when, say, the Buffalo win, Brady had a terrible game. He's up at the podium like it's a funeral. And there were quite a few games like that where we won because the defensive side of the game was so spot on, but the offense struggled, and Brady really was having a hard time. It was almost like we lost. So I think, you know, ego also is coming into play with Brady, and that could be a problem for Bill Belichick if he wants to move on from Brady during the season. So yeah, those are my thoughts on extending him for, say, a two-year contract. It could be almost a cancer to the team, which he was kind of this year, I felt, as well. I mean, you know, he's a lot of the receivers, like N'Keal Harry, I don't know if he gave him a chance. I mean, it seemed like Russell Wilson was willing to work with Metcalf. And these other guys will let these players develop, where Brady's down their throat the minute, you know, there's one thing wrong. I don't know. He's just I think he's becoming a little difficult in putting the blame game on some of these young guys, where I felt a lot of it was him.
Yeah.
I mean, he turtles in the pocket really fast, and he doesn't have the mobility to roll out and to make things happen, where a lot of other quarterbacks, you know, even at his age, like Drew Brees, can still do that. So I think the game's changing. The quarterbacks are really athletic, really mobile, and Brady's probably the best, most unathletic player on the Patriots. So just my thoughts.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Lisa. So a couple of interesting things there. So I remember the game where Brady's upset. It wasn't the Buffalo game. I believe it was the Eagles game, because remember, Rob Gronkowski was on Fox after, and he's like, oh, smile, you're 9-1. Remember that after the game where he said that? But the point being, in terms of the attitude, it was odd this season, right? Because Tom Brady, for all these years, he's been like the Prince of Positivity. And there was a lot of negativity surrounding Tom Brady this year when he went up to the podium. It felt like they were losing games, to Lisa's point. And that did get a little tiresome. And that did get a little old after a while. And the other thing that I would say is this. When you talk about Brady, if he's going to be an issue or a cancer in the locker room, if Brady comes back, he's not getting replaced this year. He would get replaced after the season or something along those lines. There's no way that they're going to actually bench Tom Brady and he's going to have to mentor a young quarterback. There's no way that Brady would be able to do that. No way that he'd be able to do that. But it is weird to see how Brady's personality has kind of changed this year. And I have to imagine some of it is the situation with the contract, where he doesn't know if he's going to be here long term. And you have to imagine, and I'm not saying that when he's out on the field, he's thinking this way, but you have to imagine when Brady goes home at night after a game where the offense looks horrible, and he looks at his numbers and he looks at where he ranks in the NFL, and everything is falling down for him in terms of his statistical measures this season. And if you're Brady, you look at it and you have to think at the back of your mind, well, I thought I was going to have all this leverage when I go into a negotiation with Bill Belichick this offseason, and look at my numbers. Bill wouldn't give me the contract after my MVP season. Why do I think he's going to give me an extension after this year? So I have to imagine some of that weighs on Tom Brady, and we see some of the frustration. I have to imagine that has to be part of the equation with Brady. Let's get to Bill in Holden. What's up, Bill?
How are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, couple of things. What that woman just said about Brady's ego, number one, just pretend if you were him for 20 years and four or five times at your own expense, you renegotiated your contract to lower the salary cap to be able to get better players.
Yeah, Bill, to that point, though, Bill, to that point, most of the time when he does that, he's getting a bump in pay right then. Like, he's getting more money. He's getting a bonus at that time. Now, to your point, I understand he's taken less over the years, but when he renegotiates his contract, it's not like he's taking less money. Now, when he first signs those contracts, he is, but when he renegotiates, he's not taking less money.
Well, they're just pushing it out further, but what his point is to be able to have more spending money to get quality receivers to help him out. I mean, was it this year he had 19 different receivers?
Right, okay.
You were a quarterback.
Yeah, Bill, I'm with you on that.
That is so frustrating.
Bill, I'm with you on that. So your take is that Brady, after taking all this time where he had less money and had less money, where the hell is the receiving core, right? That's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on
that. Look what he's had to go through.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, and I appreciate the phone call, Bill. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. Now, that makes sense. If Brady's aggravated about that and he's saying, look, all these years I've been taking less money and look at the receiving core I have, I can totally understand why he would be frustrated and aggravated by that. All right, a lot more to get into. You can weigh in on the Tom Brady situation if you want. Plus, why Bill Belichick is rooting really, really hard for the San Francisco 49ers today as Jimmy Garoppolo, his texting buddy, gets ready to take on the Green Bay Packers. I think it's obvious. But one thing I want to mention about Jimmy Garoppolo coming up where I think he is completely overrated. I'll get into all that. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and 45 minutes or so right here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com station.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so. The number 617-779-7937. One other thing I want to point out with Brady, if he is to leave, which of course we all know he has the ability to do so, he's still going to be the greatest of all time, 3-time MVP, 6-time Super Bowl champ and all that. And nobody's going to question his legacy, but I think something that will come up, if Brady goes to a different team and that Max Kellerman cliff eventually comes, which he predicted like, I don't know, 8 years ago now. But anyway, if that cliff actually comes, he goes to a different team and Brady sucks at 43, at 44. He's just not good anymore, right? And it looks like he's just a bad quarterback at that point in time. You know what some of the narrative will be? Some of the storylines will be, even though it would be misguided because the guy would be 43, 44 years old, some of the narratives around the country will be, well, he's not in Belichick's system anymore. See, when he's not with Belichick anymore, look what Jimmy Garoppolo did in his short time in New England when he started 6 quarters. He won a game with Jacoby Brissett. Matt Castle was 11-5. Like, those topics will come up if Brady goes to a different team and isn't good anymore. Even though, like I said, it would be completely misguided because he'd be more about the age than anything else. Like, if Brady went to another team at his prime, he'd still be one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the sport. Like, if he went somewhere, say, in like 2010 or 2011. But because he's older, he may not still have that same ability at 44 than he did at 36, 37. But even though people will ignore the age, they'll say, ah, it's kind of more about Belichick. So that is one thing that Brady does risk in terms of leaving this Patriots organization, is that actually becoming a narrative, which, again, I'm telling you that it's misguided, but I'm saying that the national media will hop onto that and try to mention that as something as basically a negative in Brady's legacy, if you will. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Paul on the Cape. What's up, Paul?
Yeah, hi. I want to talk about Brady. I appreciate it, all the years he's given us, but through all the years, we didn't have real good receivers and we didn't have real good teams at the time, and Brady carried us through. And now he doesn't have the skills that he used to have to carry us through. We need more receivers and stuff. But to be the greatest, you have to be able to carry a team, and he can't carry a team. You look at what they did with Miami in the first half,
but
where they didn't try for the touchdown.
Paul, that's fair, but let me ask you this.
Brady wouldn't carry him through.
Paul, let me ask you this, though. What quarterback was going to carry this team this year? I just don't see that there was a quarterback out there that would have made this Patriots team great. Like, as great as Pat Mahomes is, what's he going to do with the receivers that the Patriots had this year and the offensive line issues that the Patriots had this year?
Yeah, well, Pat Mahomes at least can run around this.
Sure, but you're still not going to look like one of the best.
Brady can't do that, although he never has been able to.
Yeah, it's a fair point, Paul, but even with Pat Mahomes, do you think this would have been one of the best 3 offenses in the NFL or something along those lines with the weapons that he had?
No, I'm not saying it would be, but I'm just saying that Brady can't carry a team like he used to. He isn't as good as he used to be.
That's a fair point, Paul, and I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line at 617-779-7937. That's fine. If you want to look at the numbers and say he's not what he used to be, fine, okay? But this narrative, like Tom Brady carried this team with bad receivers before, I just don't understand when that was the case. All right, in 06, we can all acknowledge the receiving core was horrible. Rashay Caldwell was the number one receiver. I get it. 2006, horrible receiving core. But in 07, he gets Randy Moss and he gets Wes Welker. He's got Wes Welker for a number of years with Randy Moss. And then, oh, by the way, in 2010, they draft Rob Gronkowski, and Aaron Hernandez was on the team for a couple of years as well. By the way, that documentary about Aaron Hernandez, it is absolutely chilling. I didn't know all that stuff about his mother either. I mean, jeez. If you haven't seen that documentary, I would advise you to watch it on Netflix. But anyway, so he had Rob Gronkowski. Okay, then Julian Edelman becomes one of the really good slot receivers in the NFL. They go out and they get a guy like Danny Amendola, who played at a significantly high level. So I don't think it's ever been this big case where Brady didn't have weapons up until really this year and a little portion of last year after what happened to Josh Gordon. And quite frankly, I believe they, as an organization, completely overrated Josh Gordon to begin with. But it's not as if the Patriots have been depleted at the receiving core, or at least the pass-catching positions, if you will, because you count Rob Gronkowski into that equation. Really, outside of 2006, and then you look at the fact last year the receiving core wasn't great in 2018, and they still were able to get enough in the running game to win the Super Bowl, and this year the receiving core wasn't great. But I don't think there's been like this long period of time where Brady has carried the offense. Now, if you want to say the offense carried the team, because really from what, 09 to 2013, the defense was garbage, you can say that, but I don't feel like Brady was in this position for the most of this decade where he didn't have weapons. It happened for the past like year and a half and in 2006. Okay, so I don't think this is one thing where, oh, Brady had to carry all these guys that weren't good. That just never was really the case. Now, if you want to say maybe it wasn't as consistent as like Peyton Manning having Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison every year, okay, fine. But Brady's had weapons for the majority of his career. Let's get to Brian in New Hampshire. What's up, Brian?
Hey, I just wanted to say that I think a lot of people missed the mark on Brady's attitude this last season. I mean, first and foremost, he's a competitor and a fierce one. That's what everybody loves about him. That's what got us so many good plays and good things from Brady, and why he works so hard. So tell me a fierce competitor out there who is a professional, who's achieved great amount of success, is going to be happy with just winning and not performing well as a unit or as their side of the ball when you have, you know, two decades worth of success to look back on, in times when you've been able to carry a team, in times when you've been able to do those things, and you are not currently doing them. Yes, winning is the ultimate objective, but as a professional and a top-level professional, he's a major competitor. That was probably what bothered him most this season.
It's a fair point, Brian, and I appreciate the phone call. So if you're Tom Brady, you've been this perfectionist for the majority of your career. 2007, you have one of, if not the best offenses of all time. Then a couple of years later in 2012, when you have the two tight ends, you have, again, one of the best offenses in the history of the sport. And his MVP season in 2017 was outstanding. 2016 was outstanding, right? So then you go back and you think about what you had this year and you go out there and it's like, just don't lose the football game. That has to weigh on Tom Brady. And that's some of the frustration. My point about that, though, is why is he so pouty for the majority of the season every time he goes up to the podium? That, to me, just, I understand if you're frustrated behind closed doors in the locker room and all that, but every time you go up to the podium, you created an issue with this team in terms of, we were talking about it locally every week, that Brady seems so unhappy, and that makes us think about the contract situation. And when we're talking about the lack of weapons that this team had, Brady was basically highlighting it every week that this was such a massive problem. And he was basically pointing out that, and he didn't call him by name, but he's pointing out the fact that he needs more, or that right now the offense isn't where it needs to be. And he mentioned before that it takes a lot to learn this offense. So when he highlights those things and he's so negative when he gets to the podium, he created an issue for the team in terms of, everybody's perception was the offense wasn't good, but he highlighted it. You had your quarterback each and every week, the Prince of Positivity, turning into the like most negative guy in the NFL each week up there, moping and pouting at the podium. That is frustrating, and that does not send a good message to the locker room. So I can understand why people were upset with Brady's attitude this year, and the flipping of the helmet and all that, it just got aggravating, right? 617-779-7937 is the number if you want to hop on board, weigh in on the Tom Brady situation. Plus, I want to get to why Jimmy Garoppolo is completely overrated, this Red Sox mess, and what exactly is going on with the Celtics. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.